read along. Verses 1 through 3, and then we'll continue. And then I'll continue to read. Ready? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. I'll continue on. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometimes when ye lived in them. Let's go ahead and pray, and you can be seated after we pray. Lord, we love the word of God, Father, and there's always treasures in there. And Lord, I know certain people in church, they seem to always get blessed, Father, and I think it's their receiver is wide open. And thank you, Lord, that we can have the word of God. And I pray tonight that everybody would get something, Lord. We want to be better Christians. We want to go above and beyond, and we want to be more heavenly minded. And I pray tonight we would get the mind of Christ. Even if we don't complete it tonight, we'd begin to see it tonight and see a goal to strive towards, Lord. We pray for the Holy Spirit to please teach us and guide us and speak to us. Bless the faithfulness of your people for coming tonight and help them. And use me, though an unworthy servant, to help us to have a vision for what you want us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Lots of things in this verse, in this chapter. It's a great chapter. I memorized this chapter when I was, I guess, 17 years old, and Colossians 3 is fantastic. First thing it says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Interesting phrase, risen with Christ. Risen with Christ. It's a present tense thing. You're already risen, already saved, already in heaven. You know, the great thing about salvation, it's done already. 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Of John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, already has it, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. When you get born again, when you get saved, you already have eternal life. It doesn't start when you die. You're already risen with Christ. Interesting. Now, go back to Philippians, just the book before Colossians. Philippians in chapter 3. Interesting couple of words that God uses here. Philippians in chapter 3. We're already saved. We already have eternal life. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. It says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, this is Philippians 3:21, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. He says, our conversation is in heaven. That conversation is a very interesting word in the Greek. It's a word you wouldn't expect there, and it comes from a word, a political word, and the word means your citizenship. Your citizenship is in heaven. And that's already your home. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. It's already done. You already have heaven as your home. This world is just temporary. This world is just a fill-in time. This world is just for a minute. The word is politeuma, which means citizenship. You're already a member of heaven's. You're already a legal alien in heaven. You just haven't got there yet. You're a citizen. When I'll be in Guatemala in January, I'll still be an American citizen. My home's still in America. But you know, right now I'm on earth, but my home's in heaven. I have a home here, but I'm glad I have a home. But that home is not my permanent home. I'm glad there's so many repairs on it, and there's too many things there. But that's our real home. The Bible says our citizenship is in heaven. The Bible says that we are already seated in heavenly places. Turn back to the book of Ephesians, the next book back, in chapter 2. We're already seated in heaven. in God's mind. See Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. And hath raised us together and hath made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show us the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. We already are seated in heavenly places, and forever God's going to show us the great riches. The Bible says our names are already in the book of life, in the reservation book in heaven. Luke chapter 10, verse 20. It says, rejoice not that the demons are subject unto you, but rejoice rather that your names are written in the book of life. And there's a book in heaven that's a roll call for heaven, and it's written down your name if you're saved. And it's already written there. It's not you're going to, when you get to heaven, everything will be settled. It's settled. God's stamp paid in full when you got saved. You already have eternal life. You already have a home in heaven. It's done because Jesus already died for you and you already accepted the gift, and the gift is yours. And so you're already risen with Christ. It's already done and you're already taken care of. Eternity's already taken care of. So since that's our home, since that's already settled, we ought to live for what's going to matter for eternity. We'd have our mind up there in eternity. Number one, we're risen with Christ. If we are, Colossians 3:1 says, seek those things which are above. Seek those things which are above. So it gives us a few things you're supposed to do. First of all, we're supposed to seek the things above. Seek. What do you seek in life? There's a lot of things people seek and a lot of different ideas you could seek and a lot of different ideas. And some people don't even know what they're seeking. Most people are seeking happiness. Some people are seeking relationships. Some people are seeking money. Some people are seeking a championship. And some people are seeking a career. And some people are seeking a certain relationship. Or some people are seeking children or whatever. People seek for things. And the Bible says we are supposed to seek the things above. The simple thing is that we need to do this year, and we're going to try to do a lot, is we need to get our minds off this planet. We need to seek those things which are above, it says, where Christ sitteth in the right hand of the Father, where God is, where Jesus is, thinking about that. I mean, how often do we really think about heaven? How often do you really picture heaven? How little do we know about heaven? This year, we're going to preach at the start of the year, especially more about heaven and try to get us a little bit of a picture, but it's very hard to comprehend how fullness of joy and how wonderful it's going to be. But we should seek those things which are above. It says we should set our affection above. Our affection. We have affection for a lot of things. What is your affection in life? And take your, if you say, I just love my child, I just have so much affection for them, and that's good, and that's wonderful. But you know you should even have more affection for heaven than the person you love most in the world? Your kid, your grandkid, your husband, your wife. But Jesus says, you shouldn't love anybody more than you love me. People have affection for their team. Boy, right now, there's a bunch of Seahawks fans who have a lot of affection for their team. They're feeling pretty good, aren't they? And so they got all kinds of affection, and they think about their team, and they'll read about their team this week, and they will listen on the radio about their team. And fine, you know, that's fine. I just want to say this. The intensity that people live for their team, and you know those people who full-time follow their team around? They buy tickets, and they go wherever their team goes. And their whole wardrobe, they have their team logo painted on their car. And that costs a lot of money. I mean, they have a lot of affection for their team. How much affection do you have for God? There are people who are obsessed with the TV show or with a certain actor, and they're obsessed, and they got posters all over their wall. What do you have affection for? We are supposed to set our affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Why? Because everything in this earth you can lose. Everything in this earth you can lose. Bible, let me read you this. It says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. You know, your money is not that safe in the stock market. Your money's not that safe in the bond market anymore. Your money's not that safe in a safe deposit box. Your money is, your treasures, your house, you know, folks, this world is an unstable world. Our family this week watched a documentary on super earthquakes. And boy, you can be sitting there one day, and 5 minutes later, you're walking out into rubble of a city. This is an unstable world. Don't lay up your treasures on this earth. Sometimes by the time you get enough money to go have fun, you're too old to have fun. And sometimes you don't make it till you get to the point where you think you're going to have fun. And sometimes the thing you thought was going to be fun is not fun. And everybody thinks you're going to live to a good old ripe old age and everything's going to go great for them in the future. A lot of people think that. But you know what? I would put your affection on things above. This world is not promised blessing and good things. Now, we get them and praise God for them, but set your affection on heaven. Your body is going to get old. We've had people in this room who had heart attacks young. We've had people in this room who knew somebody who died very young. Do not get your mind and affection, what you really love, where your heart is. Put your treasure in heaven. Put your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, because this earth you're going to live on for 70 years. And it's hard to comprehend eternity. I've never been able to comprehend it. I've fried some circuits just thinking about it. Eternity being more of a lack of time than a length of time. It just never ends. And thinking about it, that when you get to heaven, you'll be in fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore, as the Bible says. And as Amazing Grace says, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we have no less days. We who are stuck in time, and this has got to end pretty soon. Oh, when's we got to go home? When we got to do this? When is we, you know, when we're always living on time, and when am I going to go on vacation? When is it gonna, I got to go back to work? And when do I have to go back to school? And all these things. I remind you kids of school yet? Going back to school. How many kids don't want to think about back to school? All right. I used to hate when I would go and see the back to school sign sales at the store. Oh, I hated that. School is awesome. You need to go right back to school really soon and set your affection there. And school's good. And you need it. You need to do good in school. I'm going to get it if I don't say that. And I'm sick. Don't come too close to me. We think about these things and we know it's going to end. We know the day is going to end. You're having the best day and you say, oh, it's got to come to an end. Listen, we're so used to this time and we're so used to divisions of when it's going to end and when it's going to change and bad things happening. I just cannot imagine nothing bad's going to happen. That kind of hard to comprehend. Can you imagine your body can never get hurt? Never get sick? Can you imagine you'll never sin? You'll never mess up? You'll never disappoint God? Can you imagine that when you've been there giggling in joy of fullness of joy and in fullness of pleasure, more happy and fun than anything you've ever done in your life? And life's pretty fun sometimes. But the worst day in heaven is better than the best day of this life. Can you imagine in 10,000 years you're saying, come on, it's got to end soon. Or, you know what, I'm going to pay for that, jumping from planet to planet or whatever, my knee's going to ache tomorrow. And you say, no, it's not going to. And in a million years, you're just saying, you know, this is never going to end. And in another million years, in 10 million years, and in a billion years, and in a trillion years, and in whatever is next years, and in all those years, you are never going, it's never going to go bad. It's never going to get worse. It's, why would you live for this planet for 70 years? Why? I think literally the way I thought, I remember thinking when I was a young Christian, really helped me, is my life on earth compared to my eternity is like one blink of my eye in my entire lifetime. And if I blink just perfectly, I'll have a good rest of my life. So I'm going to make sure I blink really carefully. And thinking that what I do in 10 or 15 years, whatever I have left, or a year or whatever, what I do is going to give me treasures for trillions of years. Why would you set your affection and tie yourself to this planet because there's some cute guy or because there's some great job or because you want to be popular or because whatever that ties you down to this planet because you got to keep your friends or play your video game or watch your movie or drink your whatever or whatever it is that ties you down? Why would you not live? Why would you not start witnessing, though you might be embarrassed now, you'll be exalted for trillions of years? You just want to live for eternity. Set your affection on things above. You can lose it all down here. We're supposed to love heaven. Let me just show you some things about heaven. Psalm 17. I'm just going to run through some verses real fast. You don't have to turn to them all if you don't want, but you may if you'd like. Psalm 17. All right, we're through our menthos. Should I do my lemon water or my honey super tea? Or my amp? Or my whiskey? Never mind. Where's Celerina? Celerina in here? What's in here, Celerina? What is in here? Tea with honey and lemon. All right. This is good? Okay, we'll drink this. I gotta watch it. I gotta watch some of you. And, great sermon. Turn to verse 2. And Psalm 17. That's good. I like that. The tea is good. Tea with lemon and honey. Psalm 17. And verse 14, I can trust Celerina. The rest of you? From men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world which have their portion in this life, whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasure, they are full of children, and leave the rest their substance their babes. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy righteousness. I'll be satisfied when I get to heaven. Don't seek paradise on earth. You don't watch the news much. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And just going to read a few verses in the New Testament now, Romans 8. This talks about all of nature is wanting and desperately looking for the world to become, for the end, for eternity. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature, that's nature. Nature is desiring for Jesus to come back. Waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. That's just, long story short, that's saying nature didn't do anything wrong. Adam and Eve blew it. And they're waiting for the nature to be fixed because they're in pain too. Because they're in a sin-cursed world, it dies. Verse 21, because the creature itself shall also be delivered into bondage, from the bondage of corruption, under the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which are the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Boy, one of the great things about heaven is a new body. It's a new body. No flus, hallelujah. No sicknesses. We went to our great sledding activity, and we had a lot of fun there at the sledding activity. Problem is, our bodies are not perfect. And poor little Jasmine down here, she was down there, and she went and she started twirling a circle, and all of a sudden, whack! She hit headfirst into some guy's legs, and then Charlie, he goes down, and he some guy doesn't move, and the guy lands, big guy lands right on Charlie's shoulder and neck, and me, I can run and jog and do all the things I need to do, but my bad leg that got crushed, I get arthritis for about 2 or 3 days afterward, and walking up and down the hill, my leg was aching and doing that, and you know I have these once I was getting these aches and pains, you've been in 43 car wrecks, you get a bunch of little injuries that are there, and I've got all these little spots in my neck and back that when something's wrong, I start realizing, and by the way, I am also able to tell the forecast of weather because the weather's really going to change. There's these little pains that come along where I got an injury here. Boy, I've got a custom-made body. How many have custom-made body? It's unique. It's got all kinds of little things on it. And so we were joking at Christmas, and she was talking about how when I used to go to the hospital, she's taking the emergency room, and they didn't even sign you in anymore. I was in there so often because I was just such a rough kid and mean brothers and sisters and everything. And so we got all these injuries. And you know what? The body, you know what? If you can walk and talk and see, praise God. However, if you don't know it yet, take care of that thing. I don't mean worship it. Don't stand there in the mirror and flex all day. You're going to embarrass yourself. And don't do that. But I mean, you pay for stuff later. You pay for stuff later. And you know what the good news is? No matter where your body is, though it groans and though it creaks and though it shape changes, usually more circular as you get older, and though it does all those things, can I say this? You get a new one in heaven that never gets old. I'd like to have my physical abilities back when I was about 18 or 19. I could eat everything. I was a eating machine, and I never gained weight. How many of you like that? You could eat, eat, and then something changed. And all those things, and your body changes. But, you know, listen, when you get to heaven, your body will have no problems. The Bible says you put on incorruption. Your body will be able to do like Jesus. He could appear and disappear wherever. He could eat, and he ate with the disciples. There is all kinds of, you will never ache, you'll never get a pain, you can never die, you can never anything. It is a perfect, incorruptible body. Look forward to that. Everybody in heaven will have these perfect bodies. You will be you in a perfect body, and all the males will be somewhat bald because all spiritual people are in heaven, and that will happen. And I'm trying to keep you awake. You're all just kind of staring at me here, but you got an eternal body, and it's never going to get old. Praise God for it. Set your affection there where your body's going to be there perfect forever. You can never be so heavenly minded you have no earthly good. I've heard that statement. What a dumb statement that is. Sometimes you be so heavenly minded you have no earthly good. That is not, you have no Bible knowledge if you think that, because if you're heavenly minded, you are earthly good. If you're thinking about eternity, you're raising you're spending time with your family. You're going to work because you're working for Jesus. You're being a better worker because you're working for Jesus. You spend your money wisely because you're doing it for Jesus. You do everything for God, and you do it well. To be heavenly minded becomes more earthly good. Plus, you're making an impact on people and making a difference in eternity. Be heavenly minded and do that. More verses, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. We almost use these for our theme verses for the year, but we've moved to Colossians instead. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, that's the suffering when you serve God, worketh for us, 2 Corinthians 4:17, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And one more verse, Hebrews, one more verse in this subject, Hebrews, and let me just read you chapter 11. Eternity-minded. Eternity-minded. Hebrews 11:13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. God, now listen. Heaven's going to be amazing, and God's preparing it for you. And he's preparing it for his people. And seek that city, it says. And these believers always did that, and you want to do that. Another reason we should be heavenly minded and set our affection there is because this whole earth is disappearing. It's all gone. Bible says this in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Boy, when I was a kid, I used to worship cars. I loved cars. And I would stand there at the magazine rack and read about cars all day, every day. I'd look at hot rods and I'd look at sports cars and look at those things. And boy, you'd look at a Lamborghini or a Ferrari. And you'd look at those things and say, boy, if I could drive one of those things around. Now I say, oh man, if I had that thing, everybody would be running into me. And I couldn't insure it. But I look those things. You know, you can get a mansion, but one day God's coming back, and this world is sin cursed, so he's going to melt it with fervent heat. The elements are going to melt, and the Ferrari and the Lamborghini and the DeLorean and the house and the mansion and everything else and the big screen and everything else is all going to just burn and be nothing. And if that's all you live for, you have nothing. 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 What a terrible life to get done and have nothing. nothing. Set your affection on things above. We're going to try to preach more in heaven this year. Number one, we just said we're risen with Christ. Number two, set your affection on things above, not things of the earth. And then number three, you are dead and your life is with Christ in God. Let me go back to Colossians 3. You are dead, but your life is hid with Christ in God. Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. You're dead, the Bible says. The Bible says we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ is raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing that Christ, being dead, dieth no more, sin hath no more dominion over him. Death hath no more dominion over him. But in that he died once. The Bible says in Romans 6, we die when we get saved. The old us is dead. That's what baptism symbolizes. The new us is saved. Our sins are forgiven. And we're alive to God. We're risen with Christ. And no longer are we in this old body living for this old earth. We are dead. The old us is dead. And now we give God our life and let him live through us. And we die, but God lives through us. And the old and your dreams and your hopes, anything about you just goes away. And now you're just God's. Go back to a couple books to Galatians and chapter 2. Try lemon water. Woo. Mentos, tea, and lemon water. It's great. Needs some toothpaste. Woo. That's some strong lemon water. And we see Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. It's not me who lives anymore, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You're dead. Our life is above and beyond. Our life is about heaven. We died. Our nature is what I want. It's relationships and it's fun and it's entertainment and it's sin and it's the world and it's the things of the world and it's life and it's money and it's treasures. And God says, no, you die. Live for God. Let Christ live in you. The old you's dead. You don't have a life. You're bought with the price. Let Christ live in you. And Christ is not worried about, listen, if Christ was worried about this planet, he would not have let them kill him. He died on the cross because he was worried about eternity. And our martyr history and our martyr forefathers, they were not worried about this world. They were worried about the next. And what we want and what our dreams and what, listen, we've got to go above and beyond. If he then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth in the right hand of the Father. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, above and beyond. It's time for us to stop just thinking about what we want and what is fun and what's right there and what's going to last for a day and a week and a month and a year. But what's it going to mean in 1,000 years? What will it mean in 1,000 years? Nobody's going to care in 1,000 years how popular you were at school. Nobody's going to care in 1,000 years if you got embarrassed when you went out witnessing. Nobody's going to care in 1,000 years except for eternity. Go and live for God. Live above and beyond. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. This earth doesn't last, nor does it satisfy, and it flies by. How many of you are over 60? Raise your hand. How many were 50? Flies by, doesn't it? How many are 40? You're 50. Come on, it's 3 days. 3 days, all right. You're still in your 40s, aren't you? All right. Am I too casual? He's hanging on. There he goes. In 3 days, you're going to need to buy a cane, though. And listen. All of us, I'm 28. All of us, we all say, I was just a teenager yesterday. I had a mullet a few weeks ago. And it was just the other day. I mean, can I see a picture? No. It burned. Anybody with any brains burned every picture of yourself in the 70s and 80s. And listen, it's going to fly by. And you know what you're going to say? You will either say, I'm living for these short little term fun, and it was fun, and I had fun, and I had fun. And you're going to get there and say, but I really have nothing. And if Jesus comes back today, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. You're going to say, I have nothing. Or you're going to say, you know what, I'm going to suffer a little bit and give up some things. I'm going to live for what matters. I'm going to live in the thousand year mindset. And I'm going to live that way and live that way. And you're going to live a few years. And can I say, just in my own testimony, you certainly lived imperfect and not done all the things I should have done. Can I say, there are a lot of things I've done I don't even remember. A lot of people come back to me sometime and tell me, you already preached a sermon? And I said, yeah, it was my favorite sermon. and I don't remember. And thinking, I had an impact. I can't wait to see what I got in heaven. The people I gave a tract to, who I didn't really got saved later. The person I witnessed to, the thing I did for Jesus, the suffering I did, the lack of sleep I had, or whatever I suffered for Jesus. God keeps track of everything, every tear. And I can't wait to get to heaven and just say, I forgot about that. Boy, God, I'm glad you're a good record keeper. Bring it on. Show me more. Rejoice in that day and be exceedingly glad, for great is reward in heaven. But I think also, I'm going to also say, boy, I wish I'd done more. I wish I'd done a lot more. I can think of 1,000 times I've failed, my God, and been temporary minded. And you know what? I just don't sit around at all right now and say, I'm sure glad I didn't live for that. I don't sit around ever and say, you know what? I sure wish I would have just done more in the world. I never say that. I only say, I wish I'd done more for God, because that stuff is gone so quick. It's like when you get a big chunk of money at your tax return another time and you blow it all on nothing important. And you ever said, I wish I had that money back? You ever say that? Don't get in eternity and say, I wish I had that time back. I wish I had that effort back. Go above and beyond and live for eternity. Think in terms of 1,000 years. Think in eternity. And go above and beyond. And seek those things which are above. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the chance to preach your word. Thank you for this beautiful passage in Colossians 3. There's a lot in here, and we could go all the way through the first 7 verses, but Lord, really what we want to focus is set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Lord, I think that we just need to be eternity-minded. Boy, how we get it tied to a world that's going to disappear someday. And Lord, we can have relationships and get married and have kids and have joy in this earth. And we thank you for that bonus. But Lord, help us not to get too attached to that and live for that. But live for what's going to matter in 1,000 years. For raising those kids for you. For having a Christian home. For giving our money for the cause of Christ. For that money that we blew on fast food that we could have sent to a missionary. And Lord, there's so many things. Help us, Lord, not to spend all foolishly, but to seek and set our affection on things above, not on things of the earth. We pray for your help in this, because it's hard for us, Lord. Of all people in history, Americans in our day have more opportunities and more things pulling them to attach to this world than anybody in history. This life is easier for us than it was for kings 500 years ago. And Lord, it's hard not to get spoiled and attached. Help us, Lord. We need grace. In Jesus' name. Heads about, our eyes are closed.